Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Collin Foods Full Year 2017 Results Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question and answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Graham Maxwell, Managing Director and CEO. Please go ahead.
I'm very pleased to be able to take you through the results for Collins Foods Limited for the full financial year, which was the 52-week period to the 30th of April 2017. However, just before I do that, I want to acknowledge that we have earlier this morning announced the acquisition of 28 KC restaurants from Yum Brands. These are across Tasmania, South Australia and Western Australia. I will come on to talk more about these during this call, but first let me start with an overview of our FY17 results. This recent financial year was a good one for Collins Foods, with revenue, profit and cash flow all showing strong growth. Revenue was up 10.3% from $574 million to $633 million. The increase in revenue is driven by positive comp sales as well as growth from a KFC network. EBITDA was up 8.9% on an underlying basis from $74.6 million to $81.3 million, reflecting good flow through of extra revenue and good management of cost lines. Underlying NPAT was $34.3 million, up 14.1% on prior year. At this point, please note there are a number of significant items within EBITDA, EBIT and NPAT that I will go through in more detail in a moment. Net operating cash flow was $60.6 million, up $10.9 million on prior year due to high EBITDA and a working capital inflow due to the timing of rental payments compared to last year, and some benefit from the acquisition of the stores in Germany. Underlying net debt increased $20.6 million to $133.1 million post the German acquisition. The underlying net leverage ratio, net debt to EBITDA, was 1.59. I'd also like to clarify here that the presentation shows different numbers between statutory and underlying for return on capital employed, net debt, and net leverage ratio. This is due to the extra cash of nearly $54 million that we recently raised for the acquisition in the Netherlands. This cash is currently sitting on our balance sheet, but of course will be used upon completion of the deal. Basic earnings per share was 35.7% on an underlying basis, up 10.4% on prior year. A fully franked final dividend of 9 cents per share will be paid up, and up 12.5% on prior year for the half. This brings the total FY17 fully franked dividend to 17 cents per share, up 21.4% on prior year. In reference to the significant items mentioned earlier, let me take you through those in a bit more detail. Acquisition costs were approximately $5 million when aggregated, and are related to the four individual transactions we have undertaken in the past year. So namely the Aubrey Wodonga stores in New South Wales, Victoria, Germany, the Netherlands, and the Australian acquisition. These costs also include the costs associated with establishing a European company structure and setting up offices and legal entities in London. There was a $500,000 cash accounting adjustment gain from the sale of property rights for a Sizzler premise. All the other adjustments are non-cash and include $500,000 gain on translation of cash proceeds from the equity raise from Australian dollars to euros, $400,000 gain on the disposal of property, plants and equipment, $900,000 on impairment of restaurant property, plants and equipment on 5 snack stands and 1 Sizzler restaurant, and $900,000 on snack stand goodwill impairment, and there's some deferred tax write-off relating to the Sizzler Australian restaurant closures. I'd like to take you now just through the operational highlights by brand. This is on slide 3. Excuse me. Our core KC business had another good year. Total revenue growth was up 9.5%, reflecting the extra sales from the 13 newly acquired stores and the opening of 7 new restaurants. Same-store sales across KFC of 5.7%, with same-store sales growth of 1.7% during the second half of FY17. So on the 26th of July, we announced the completion of the acquisition of the 13 restaurants located around the Victoria-New South Wales border region. These restaurants have been fully integrated into our business and are performing according to expectations. On the 1st of December 2016, we completed the acquisition of 11 KC restaurants in Germany. We purchased a further restaurant on the 19th of December and opened our first new restaurant on the 25th of April 2017. The integration of the German restaurants is on track, with the early focus on back office systems. Our focus now has shifted to sales growth and operational improvements. On March 23, 2017, we announced the acquisition of 16 KC restaurants in the Netherlands, supporting our European expansion and our long-term strategic growth plans. We are expecting completion of this acquisition during our Q2 of this year. Sizzler Australia delivered positive same-store sales growth of 0.4%. We closed a further 6 restaurants during FY17. The restaurant count as of today is 16. Sizzler Asia sales and earnings continue to grow. Our franchise partners opened 4 net new restaurants, and our royalty revenue was up 4%, despite Thailand sales being substantially impacted by the passing of the King and the subsequent mourning period. A further 6 new restaurants are expected to open across 3 markets in FY18. Snagstan, unfortunately, was unable to achieve an overall improvement in trading, despite significant work that went into refining the menu and the brand. At this point, the business is undergoing a strategic review. We do not expect any further growth capital to be allocated to Snagstan. Now, looking at each of the brands in more detail. KFC had a very pleasing year, with revenue and profits both up on the prior year. Total revenue was up 9.5% to $549.5 million. Same-store sales for the full year was 0.7%, same-store sales growth of 1.7% during the second half, Queensland being stronger than Western Australia. Same-store sales in the period since year-end across the Collins KFC system are just over 4%, pretty much predicated on a strong $10 popcorn bucket in the first period. The addition of the 13 stores that we spoke about earlier generated $26 million of additional sales during the year. KFC Australia EBITDA grew by 9.7% from $81.9 million to $89.9 million, with an overall EBITDA margin of 16.4%. Up from 16.3% in the prior year. The second half underlying EBITDA margin was 15.9% versus the second half in FY16 of 15.7%. Trading conditions across the second half of FY17 saw continued sales growth and some fluctuations in the cost of sales with good flow through in the latter half of the half. The KFC estate increased by a total of 5 net new restaurants. So we built 7 new restaurants and there were 2 closures in the food courts, while 19 restaurants underwent a major remodel. The total KFC restaurant count now stands at 195. The KFC business continues to generate new product ideas and innovate around its core range. Over the past few months, we rolled out the online ordering app across all Collins Foods KFC restaurants. We have experienced good uptake from customers with over 10,000 transactions a week being completed through the app. This has opened another avenue for customer interaction as it provides a platform for two-way conversations and the opportunity to increase customer loyalty over time. Innovative new products were introduced such as the Zinger Burger Family, Bacon Lovers Burger, and that Tabasco sauce marinade on the chicken and the bone. These products not only provided great reasons for our customers to visit, but also showcase the brand and keep brand perceptions at the front of mind. Great value offers such as the large chips and gravy for $2.50, the $5 lunch, and the launch of the $1 freeze featured highly and remain important drivers of traffic to our restaurants. These value plays are well targeted to avoid compromising the core business. Our remodeled and new restaurant program continues to drive growth. As mentioned earlier, a total of seven new restaurants were built, 19 major remodels were completed for a capital spend of approximately $19.4 million. Of the seven new restaurants, six were built in Queensland and one in Western Australia. These new restaurants are all tracking positively to our internal capital returns. Furthermore, we are pleased with the sales uplift we have seen across the 19 major remodeled stores. On slide 8, as referenced earlier, we are pleased to announce the acquisition of 28 KC restaurants in Australia from subsidiaries of Yum. These restaurants are located in Western Australia, South Australia and Tasmania. The acquisition provides Collins Foods a diversified geographic footprint in Australia with an attractive and scale entry into Tasmania and South Australia. The portfolio includes two restaurants in Western Australia that are under construction and not yet trading. These are expected to be opened during October and November respectively. Excluded from the 28 restaurants is a loss-making restaurant in Western Australia, which we will close as soon as practical after completion. We will pay $110.3 million for the restaurants, plus initial franchise fees of approximately $1.8 million. For the year ending the 20th of February 2017, the acquisition portfolio generated $93.7 million in revenue and an EBITDA post-G&A of $15.7 million on a pro forma basis. Completion is expected to take place by state, with Western Australia in early October, South Australia in early November, and Tasmania in early December. Notwithstanding other openings, this will take the number of KC restaurants in Australia to 223. I'll return to talk to this acquisition further in the presentation. We completed the acquisition of 11 KC restaurants in Germany on the 1st of December 2016, purchasing a further store on the 19th of December, and open our first store on the 25th of April, taking the total restaurant numbers in Germany to 13. The Germany integration is well on track, with the early focus being on ensuring the back office systems were set up quickly to ensure that full support could be given to our restaurants. Same store sales for the period to the 30th of April were negative 3.2. The year-end festive season was particularly soft for us against prior year. Sales in the period since year-end are comping around minus 2%. In calculating the same-store sales, we have excluded one restaurant as it was initially heavily cannibalized with the opening of Nick Asylum. Underlying European EBITDA margin for the period was 4.3, so that's the underlying European EBITDA, excluding the European leadership costs as well as the opening costs for the restaurant that opened on the 25th of April. The German EBITDA margin was 6.4%. Now that the back office has been set up, the focus is firmly in driving sales and improving operational performance. Key priorities are the development and implementation of a value layer to drive transaction-led sales, improvement in overall operational performance, and a more disciplined focus around margin management. We are expecting to build 4 to 5 additional restaurants in the coming year, along with 2 remodels. On the 23rd of March, we announced acquisition of 16 KC restaurants in the Netherlands. The restaurants being located across the country with clusters in the areas around Amsterdam and The Hague. This acquisition furthers our long-term strategic growth plans and provides another growth channel in Europe. The Netherlands is an attractive, underpenetrated market for KFC with low country risk. The acquisition is expected to complete in quarter two of this year, which is sort of July, August time period. At this point in time, everything is progressing well. The one area that we are working through closely with the various municipalities is to gain the issue of the food permit so that we can trade. Sales in the restaurants that we are acquiring, so this is a portfolio of restaurants that we have acquired, have generated around 4% same-store sales in this current year, year-to-date calendar. So that's from January this year. This is the Yum calendar. So 4% same-store sales since January this year. We are expecting to have a further 2 restaurants open before the end of calendar year 17. Moving our attention to Sizzler on page 12. Central sales for the year in Sizzler Australia were 0.4%. During the course of the year, there have been 6 restaurant closures, and this has resulted in overall revenue being down 10.5% from $72.6 million to $65.0 million. Overall, underlying EBITDA was $4.6 million, with EBITDA margin falling 30 basis points to 7.0%. During the year, there was a gain on the sale of the property rights relating to Sizzler Australia restaurant of $500,000. This was offset by one Sizzler restaurant needing to be impaired. The pre-tax non-cash impairment was $200,000. The restaurant count is currently at 16. The restaurants will continue to be assessed on an ongoing basis in relation to the individual performance, expiry of the lease, and local circumstances. Sizzler Asia continues to produce good earnings, growth in cash. Royalty revenues for the year were up 4%, supported by one net new restaurant in Thailand. There were 5 new builds and 4 closures, and 3 new restaurants in China and 1 closure in Japan. The sales in Thailand were substantially impacted by the passing of the king in the subsequent mourning period. I'll now hand you over to Nigel to take you through the financials.
Thanks, Graham. I'm pleased to report on the strong growth in cash flow. Net operating cash flow before interest, tax and working capital was up to $83.8 million from $70.5 million prior year, reflecting the EBITDA improvement referred to earlier and a favourable working capital movement due to the timing of rental payments compared to last year and some benefit from the acquisition of the stores in Germany. The net investing cash flow was $64.9 million, comprising $34.3 million for acquisitions, 15.3 for the purchase of the 13 stores in New South Wales, Victoria, and 19.2 for the purchase of 12 stores in Germany, and then an additional $30.6 million of CapEx. The $30.6 million CapEx cash spend was made up of the following. New store and remodel CapEx in KFC was approximately $22.8 million. Group CapEx was $2.4 million. The new store in Germany cost $1 million. And just over $3 million of cash was spent on capital accounted for, booked in FY16. Net cash flow from financing was $55.2 million. This included $52.4 million relating to the capital raising to partially fund the Netherlands acquisition, $15.1 million of dividends paid, and $17.9 million relating to net extra facilities drawn. Excluding the investment and financing activities associated with the Germany and New South Wales Victoria acquisitions, the cash flow for FY17 was positive at $14.9 million. Moving on to net debt, underlying net debt was up $20.6 million to $133.1 million, driven by the Germany acquisition. Underlying net leverage ratio stood at 1.59. We continue to operate well within our covenant headroom. Our new revolving syndicated credit facility is for $270 million Aussie dollars and euros of 60 million. That's up from Aussie 215 million and euro 33 million. This new multi-currency facility was put in place to part fund the 28 KFC store acquisition in Australia and to ensure there was sufficient growth capital for the business. Looking at the balance sheet, the higher cash balance of $104.8 million, up $52.3 million on prior year, is due to the proceeds from the capital raising to partially fund the Netherlands acquisition. Property, plant and equipment is up $15.4 million, reflecting the acquired restaurant assets and continued investment in new and remodeled stores, partially offset by depreciation and the impairment charges referred to earlier. Debt increased in order to fund the Germany acquisition. I'd now like to hand you back to Graham.
Thanks, Nigel. I'd like to move to the second topic of the call. As mentioned earlier, we are pleased to confirm that we have entered into a binding agreement with KFC Australia to acquire a further 28 restaurants here in Australia. 14 of the acquired restaurants are located in Tasmania, 8 in South Australia, and 6 in Western Australia. To be clear on the specifics of the acquisition portfolio, the total number of restaurants acquired are in fact 29. However, one loss-making restaurant will be closed as soon as possible post-completion, hence the 28, mm-hmm. while two restaurants of the 28 are currently under construction and will be open before the end of December this year. The purchase price for these restaurants is $110.2 million plus franchise fees of around $1.8. For the year ending the 20th of February 2017, the acquisition portfolio generated $93.7 million in revenue and an EBITDA post-G&A of 15.7 on a pro forma basis. The pro forma financials have been adjusted to include the estimated trading of the two restaurants to be opened in Western Australia before the end of this calendar year and exclude the trading performance of one loss-making restaurant in WA, which will be closed shortly after completion. In addition, the pro forma financials have been adjusted to reflect the Collins above store overheads to support the business and represents a cost structure that is in line with that which will be in place post the transaction. The acquisition multiple using EV to EBITDA is 6.5 times store level EBITDA, that is pre-G&A, and the multiple is 7 times EBITDA when you include the above store G&A. The EBITDA numbers that we have used are for the year ending the 20th of February 2017, earlier this year. And the acquisition portfolio delivered, and this is using the acquisition data, same-store sales growth during the trading 13 periods of circa 5.8% same-store sales growth. The acquisition is to be fully funded via fully underwritten 1-4-11 pro rata accelerated non-renounceable entitlement offer of $44.1 million. And debt of $69.3 million from enlarged debt facilities. The acquisition is expected to be mid-single-digit earnings per share accretive for Collins Food in the first full financial year of ownership, i.e. FY19. This is inclusive of one new restaurant opening per year in these markets. From a balance sheet perspective, the pro forma FY17 net leverage ratio will be approximately 2.2 post-completion of the acquisition, with further deleverage to below 2 on a pro forma FY18 basis. We are expecting the acquisition to be completed in stages between October and December this calendar year. The acquisition leverages the core strength of Collins Foods and enhances the scale of our network. Based on the increased KFC restaurant base, Collins Foods plans to build 8 to 9 new KFC restaurants per year in Australia over the next 4 to 5 years. This is one restaurant per year above our current plan of 7 to 8 new restaurants per year. All acquired restaurants are up to date and are in line with Yum's remodeling cycles. Furthermore, I'd like to take this opportunity to inform you that we have appointed Drew O'Malley as Chief Operating Officer for Australia. Drew comes out of Amrest. Amrest is a listed company with over 1,300 restaurants primarily in Europe and operates KFC, Pizza Hut, Starbucks and Burger King amongst other brands. Drew has over 15 years experience in KFC and one of his former roles in Amrest was president of the Central European Division in which he was responsible for just over 500 restaurants across 4 brands including KFC across a number of countries in Central Europe. We are pleased to have someone with Drew's significant knowledge and experience join our executive team as we consolidate acquisitions and build capability for the future. Drew will be joining us in September. I'd like to now open the call for questions.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from James Vieira from Wilson. Please go ahead.
Thanks, Graham and Nigel. Congratulations on the result. First question with respect to the result itself, can you just talk a little bit about what you feel drove this, the stronger finish to the year in the Australian KFC business?
Thanks, James. Yeah, no, sure. Certainly, in terms of the second half of this year compared to the second half of last year, we had a stronger period 13 if we compare year on year, and that growth in sales certainly allowed for a good flow through in terms of the profits from those sales. One of the other points I did want to mention is that within that time frame, when we approached the market earlier in the year around the Netherlands, that was on a 20-week cycle, or sorry, a 20-week trading period, as it was extracted sort of purely from the books. There is, as you guys would appreciate, there is elements at the half and full year of truing up some of the accruals that you will have in labour and in terms of food, cost of goods. We certainly carry small provisions for various components of labour, and also if we have costs associated with product write-off, if there's any promotional activity that doesn't work. So certainly truing up some of those, year on year, there was a little bit more that sort of flowed through off the back of that. And so ultimately we ended up with a 0.2 higher in margin across the half, and then a 0.1 margin across the full year. And there's been a lot of work over the last little while in terms of focusing on our controls and ensuring that we can achieve the margins that we're pushing towards. Just in terms of, a point I've made a number of times is from a Queensland perspective, we do see the margins that we currently have with the Queensland business, given the current trading environment, as optimised, whereas we still do see some potential upside over time within the Western Australia and the Southern stores. But ultimately, because of the weighting associated to those, it doesn't move the dial significantly on the overall margin.
Thanks, Graeme. And then with respect to your outlook statements, I'm looking at page 19 of the result presentation. You make reference there to transaction-led same-store sales growth. Could you just elaborate a little on that comment?
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, so from our perspective, achieving sales through transaction is what we sort of strive for. We're in a current environment now where pricing for us is something that we are very cautious with, and we have been over the last 4 years around pricing. So we won't take pricing more than half of CPI. So for us, in order to make sure that we can actually drive the sales that we want, it's through additional transactions, getting people through the door, and then using that opportunity to trade up. So a lot of our value plays and our positioning around value, whether it's a recent $10 bucket of popcorn, or it's a $1 freeze, or $1 chips, $9.95, is all about driving additional transactions into the store or foot traffic into the store. And that allows us to promote the other products that we have.
Yeah, okay, that makes sense. And the 4% same-store sales growth you referenced to start FY18, is there a particular, I think you mentioned the $10 bucket of popcorn chicken, but is there any particular geographic area or anything else on the menu that's contributing to that result?
Just from a geographic perspective, as most of you are aware, that Queensland, is back into positive central sales, where Western Australia, as the last update we indicated, was about a point negative. So we certainly seeing the relativity of those and stay fairly similar. The 4% growth that we had was across the system. We did see during that time that Western Australia came positive. And obviously, by deduction, Queensland is greater than the 4%.
Okay, great. The final question from me, Graeme, is with respect to the acquisition announced today. In South Australia in particular, I think you're announcing that you're acquiring 8 stores and there's probably 40-odd stores or thereabouts owned by Yum in the state. Can you just talk a bit about how you see that market evolving? And then secondly, what, if any, change you see to the dividend policy? Are you going to follow the same path as you did with the WA acquisition and ring-fence the acquired earnings, or are you just going to apply your payout ratio to group earnings?
Yeah, all right. No, thanks. Just to put some context around the refranchising of the Yum stores, so Yum had put up 100 restaurants to be refranchised, and they had always indicated from the start that it would be on a fair and equitable basis, which indicated that it would be sort of in a pro rata basis. We roughly 30% of the total KFC business in Australia, which the 29 restaurants gives us a pro rata perspective on that. To date, we are aware of 20 restaurants that have been sold to 10 individual franchisees. So adding those together, pretty much half of the restaurants that were put on the market have found owners, or formally found owners, but the rest I'm assuming to be announced as and when they are completed. There's still probably another 45 franchisees who are out in the system who haven't been as yet formally allocated with any restaurants. So we're really pleased as to the number we got. We are also pleased with the geographies that we got. So certainly for us, Tasmania is the jewel in the crown. And so we've got all the restaurants in Tasmania, and our preference always has been to try and secure what we call a block. And so, for example, in Queensland, we own all the restaurants. That allows us to, especially from a development perspective, sort of leverage more opportunity in that space. And so certainly from a Tasmania perspective, and to some degree from a South Australia perspective. Coming more specifically to your question, Yum will be left with 50 restaurants post this. We believe that the bulk of those, probably in the 40 or so, will be in the New South Wales region, which leaves them probably about 8 or 10 in South Australia. So we are expecting that there will be potentially another franchisee coming into South Australia. I'm not quite too sure who. We are aware that the previous operations director secured 6 restaurants in South Australia. So we were expecting, when he put his hand up to be part of the refranchising process, we were expecting him to be back into South Australia. But from our perspective, I think we've got a critical mass that allows us to leverage off in that part of the world. The last point that you raised was around the dividend policy. When we acquired the Western Australia business a while back, we indicated that for the first couple of years we would look at reinvesting the earnings from the West back into the business, and that would have obviously affected the dividend policy. The key reason for that was that it was all debt funded. However, given that the acquisition here from Yum itself is a mixture of debt and equity, the dividend policy as it stands now, which is effectively paying out around 50% of NPAT, remains the same going forward.
Terrific. Thanks, Graeme and Nigel. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, James.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press *1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. There are no further questions at this time. I will now hand back to Mr. Maxwell for closing remarks.
Thanks, Amber. Just to close out, we really are quite pleased where we ended up with our full year's earnings. The performance, the underlying performance of the business has been solid and stands us into good stead going into the next year. The acquisition of these 28, 29 restaurants, we're really pleased with. It's given us a stronger and broader footprint within the country. Obviously, this upcoming year, we have a fair amount of work to do in terms of consolidating effectively what is four acquisitions in the past 12 months. As we indicated earlier in the year, we have brought on Mark van der Leeuw into Europe to help develop and bed down the European business. As I indicated on the call earlier on, by bringing Drew O'Malley across, it allows greater focus on the Australian business and certainly sort of frees me up to be able to oversight the different areas with specific focus on Europe. So for us, we're looking forward to a good year ahead. So thanks, guys.